We're on page where it says Yudalid Amid Beis on the very top, the top right. That's the first page, and we're up to where it says Mosa Yesh L'Chashush Me'yumim V'loy Limchais Be'Oivri Aveira. The laws of giving Musar. When are you allowed? When should you tell a person to be quiet during davening? And when are you allowed to not give Musar for being quiet during davening because you're afraid for your life? If you open up your mouth and tell a person you're doing an Avera, they'll tell you, who are you talking to? You see what I got in my pocket? Watch out. Watch out. Let's see. So here are the rules. So here we have Allah Mesaita Mishrabu Roy Ponim Bedin. Batel Lois Saguru Saguru. What does that mean? When they in the Tkuf, in a generation where the judges became corrupt, and judges, they would favor people in judgment. Batel Lois Saguru Bibne Ish. It became Batel. During this period of time, when people when judgment became corrupt, Batul loy saguru pasak loy sakiru ponim b'mishpat uparku ol malchus shemayim v'nosnu aleim ol basar. I'm not exactly sure the exact translation, but it means that it came a certain point in time where people no longer had mishpat became corrupt. Let's see. Bitvua shar tzien l'rama shekosaf. He directs us to a rama in Chesha Mishra that writes. It says the Ramah in Chosha Mishpah that we do not bizman hazeh give musr to people who do averos mishum sheyesh shakon bedava. If you give musr to a person that he's doing an avero, you can put yourself in mortal danger. He will come after you. Veheir the kasaf mizeh doshu rabim lechanoif lasher lo yad b'shem. Ketzes Eitzel Shum Surara. Because of that, the fact that we Bizman Hazeh, we do not give Muslim people to do Avera, unfortunately went to the even worse, that we flatter to a person that's Yad Vashem Ketzas Eitzel Shum Surara, a person who has some Yad Vashem, he has some authority, some connection in the government, or Yashar Tekifus, we flatter them Af Al Gav Deloy Bari Hazeka. Even though if we don't, there's no guarantee that we're going to be harmed. Al Kain Tofel Torah, the In Koyfin Im Ish Esrei Eyu Chayiv below. The In Koyfin Es Ish Esrei Eyu Chayim below. One man will swallow another person alive. In other words, that Bizman Hazeh, because Bizman Hazeh we do not give Musr to people, it's even worse. We flatter people who do Averos. So he's saying over here is if you have a situation where a person is not going to really harm you, if there's no real legitimate concern that a person is going to give you harm, you don't have a right to flatter a person who does averos. So again, the problem is there are people out there who have authority. They have over here connections in high places. They have authority. And the tendency is that these people, but they are bale averos. They do terrible sins. And because these people are politicians, they're people who are in high position in government, we have a tendency always to flatter them. So not only do we not give them musr, it's bad enough that we don't give these people musr for doing averos, we even go ahead and we give them kavod for doing averos. So he says this is ridiculous, because it's not bari hazeka. Just because these people have authority, they have power to cause you harm, it's not a guarantee they're going to cause you harm. And therefore, if you are aware of a person that does averos, it's not the right thing to go and give them honor, to give them cover. This indeed is a very difficult position. Today you have people, you have this every so often, even in the city council, where there are from people. I'll give you an example. People there are from people, and they're Democrats, and if you're a Democrat, you're expected to vote on same-gender marriage, and certain things which are mamash keneged kol haTorah kula. And yet every time these politicians come to town, we roll out the red carpet. Mm-hmm. So the question is it really proper to roll out the red carpet when these people are being misayeya la'ivri adera by voting party line on things which are 100% k'neged kol ha'Torah kula? Okay, so they do what they want to do. Fine, they have a reason why they feel they're compelled.
Sometimes they know that the vote, they have the vote, so they just end up.
They're compelled to do these things. Okay, they're compelled to do these things. Okay, so whatever the reason is, they're compelled to do these things. But the question is, when we come in contact with these people, is it really proper to go overboard and to give them honor? To give them very great covet. You roll out the red carpet, they come to shul, we want to acknowledge the presence of this person who has done so much for us. Yeah, that's right, you did a lot for us, but you also voted to do things which are just beyond our imagination, or at least shalaika halacha. So this is a very controversial issue. You're always going to have two sides on is how far. So okay. So he says over here, there is an issue of lo saguru mipnei ish. Don't be afraid of man. If something is wrong, something is wrong. And where do you draw the line is very, very difficult. He's not really cooking out. Leverich, let's go further over here. He elaborates. Next paragraph. Sham lechich shavade kol shein ezik barul yesh adam limchais b'ayri aveira. He says, this is what the Torah Shor says. Okay, you have to take this with a grain of salt because everything today can change. But in the situation where, if you're not going to give kovod, or it's not a guarantee you're going to suffer. It's yesh la'adam limchais ba'ovrei avera. You do have an obligation to give musar to people who do averos. V'yochir kein gam imash amu besugin shrabi dostoy b'rabi yanai shayyari mi'oisim b'nei adam shayim ma'imim ma'minim. He was afraid of these people that terrified him. V'oimrim haroigu hargim amru and he said he was afraid of these murderers. Omar, he said, "Ilu hargu es dustai. If you're going to kill dustai, who's going to give a replacement for my father?" The heishiv lo Rabbi Yachab bar Yoshia oisim liyodam kuroivim l'malchusein yesh lohem susim ufrodim shirotzim achadeim. These people, you know, like these people, they're very powerful people. Omar lohem hein yes, Omar lo imkain shaper avad. You did good by flattering them. The kasha kevin since Omar lo kuroivim l'malchus hoyle liyarmihem umadu hutzuch loy ma lo sheyesh lo susim ufrodim elavade shloy. I don't know the exact details of the Gemara. I apologize, I didn't learn this Gemara. But the basic idea over here is the only time it's not so simple. You want to give musar that if a person, it's not clear that you're in danger, it's not so simple. Okay, so he basically over here says that you have to know where to draw the line. When you give musar to a person, a politician, or when you do not give musar, it's a very difficult situation. Yeah.
I think what you were describing there was a clear and present danger.
Then you have no choice.
You're not required to put yourself
in danger.
Position.
But if there's no clear present danger, are you mechuyev to give musar to a person that does averos? So he seems to say yes. And then he goes a step further, he mentions above, now let's say it's even flattering them, to flatter these people who are involved in doing averos, because they have power to cause you harm. If they wish, they can cause you harm. But at this present moment, they're not causing you harm. So you want to engage in some preventive medicine by giving them kavod. So is this proper? Is it not proper? So he leaves this hanging. Okay, let's go to the next piece. Tezvav. Im adam chayv l'kayim tzavos aviv. Father gives a tzivui. Are you mechuyev? What are the parameters, the laws of l'kayim tzivui father? Beshut tashbetz. Nishal. Al misha meitz mitzivui kodim moisho sheb shebitoi ploinis tinosi l'ploini ubnoi ploini yisas ploini im mitzv l'kayim divrav dvarv oyla. Before the person died, he gave instructions. I want you, my son, to marry this woman. or I want you, my daughter, to marry this person. Remember that shidduch where the girl wanted? I'm demanding of you on my deathbed that you go back and you marry that girl. Or vice versa, the other way around. You remember that boy that wanted to marry you? I'm giving you command. So now the father dies. Do you have an obligation to fulfill the tzivui, the tzava of a father after he dies? What is the halach? So he says that if this is dependent on Yerusha, if he wants to yarshin what his father left over, he basically says yes, he mechuyif. Okay, that's what the Tashbet says. He says yes, he basically says yes. If the father tells you to do this, you have no choice but to do this. I don't think we pass it like that. But let's see what it says. V'chein kosav haramban zal. Sha'al mitzvah l'kayim divri hames koifin. Anything which the mates demands we force. V'chiyach came at a sefto v'ayushalmi v'im loy omar kimitzuva ele omar tenu libini kach v'kach. The yis says, so he makes a tenai. His tenai over here is, I'm only going to allow you to inherit my assets if you fulfill this condition. U'libiti kach v'kach v'tinasi l'ploni v'yirushus b'yodam u'shalitso u'shalitso. If he does not make the stipulation, if he does not connect the two, he just says, number one, I want you to give a certain amount of money to my son, and I also advise him that he should marry so-and-so, so the two are not dependent one upon the other, so you can do whatever you want. It's up to you. But let's say he says yisa ploni leplonis v'yitol kach v'kach. So the expression has the connotation that one is dependent upon the other. I'm only going to allow you to inherit my assets if you do such and such. Uplonis leploni v'titol kach v'kach im lo kim dvarav lo yitol klum. So it appears that a father has the power to make a tenai. I'm only want my child to inherit my assets if he fulfills the condition. He has the power to do so, and if the condition has not been fulfilled, then the child may not receive his Yerusha. The Yerushu ha'achim kol hanachasim, and the other brothers will inherit all the assets. V'yatam lefi shezehu tenai, v'im lo yikayim wa tenai, lo yitlu kolom. V'inei, b'shut shvus Yaakov, nishal alidon isha sheshachva al eres tavoy, a woman that was deathly ill. V'koydim moysa, before her death, mitzavev the karol lebeno lebenasecha, she called together her sons and daughters. Vitzivsa she'im yiyeh. If there's going to be eizem achloikis or riv b'nehem, sheyidin hakol al pi eid, al pi echad mikroy veha, b'chein al pi half tsarasa, nosnu kulam tekiaska. Because of her insistence, they all shook hands. Bepoil mamish liad oisay ploni to that person. So what happened was, the woman was on her deathbed, and she said, if there's going to be a dispute, who's going to inherit my assets, how it's going to be divided, I want you to go to so and so, my cousin, my uncle. He is going to be the judge. He's going to make
the executor.
And they all shook his hand. He was present, and they all shook his hand. Now, what happens? The achshav echad mehabanim eino merutze ladan mifnei osaplonim b'neishu am aritz v'nei deladan din Torah. Then the woman dies, and then of course there is a disagreement over the division of the estate, and then they remember they remember that they agree to go and present their issue to her uncle, and one of the brothers who learns in Lakewood and Kol Chazanish says, I'm going to go to the uncle. He's an am aritz deraisa. What does he know? I don't want to go to him. The road Sadafka bin Tari, he wants to go to another court. The Al Kalpanim Yitzarf, the only thing he's willing to agree is to allow that relative to participate in this other Bezdin. He'll be one of the judges, but he's not going to be the only one that decides. Ladun Imohem, this was the question presented to the Shvus Yaakov. The Lodon Yechidi Kavan Sinshu Amoritz. The Zetoyin Shaksha Nisvada, Losha, also Pony Oyev Yoysel Yachamin Achin. The old Toyin Shaker had to Kias Kaf Lenasa Rak Lenaha Surach Shloit Titref Data. And he says, and he gives an excuse. The only reason why he shook hands, he agreed, was because the woman was dying. The mother was dying. He did not want to give her Agmas Nefesh. So he said, yeah. And he feels that the relative is favorable of his brother, and he's not going to give an honest decision. So this was the problem over here in the Maisha Hoyas. So what is the halacha? Heishav Ashus Yaakov Sheloi Amrinon Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Hames Ela Davka Ben Chosav Yerushasai Avol B'shar Milei Lo Afilu B'tzavos Ovev Ve'imoy Ad Shochutzrach B'shas U'poiskim Lema Mechvoide B'mechab B'mechoy Keitzad Hoy Omer Dova V'shmu Mipiv Omer Kacha Amar Abba Moiri V'loi Kama Shechayv Lekayim Tzavoso Ve'evik Sasrayim Ha'posik V'yitzav V'syosef Lema Avichot Tzivu Lefnei Moiser Lema On a son of Pesha, Hecha, forgive, Yomalem Yosef al Tiro, Vainachi, my son, Mashmashu, Enum, Huvulkayim, Savosov, Achahutrak Yakov Luvakish, Kolkach, On a son of the Gam Yosef, Hutsuk Levticham, Alkach, Lenachi, Mosam, Ludaber, Alibam. So it's Mashmah from the fact that Yosef had to go and give them the Choma, he had no obligation to do what his father said. The fact that they had to go and say, On a son of, and he had to go say, Don't worry, I'm going to do it. Why do they have to go say, don't worry, I'm going to do it? Let them go say, it's the halacha. It's a cold halacha. Your father gave a command. The command must be fulfilled whether you like it or not.
Even a raya that supposedly didn't happen. That never said that, right?
Yeah, right. Well, right. Nechanam, Yaakov never said it. It's true. Something in which Yitaka never said. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. Let's just run through this very quickly because I just get the gist of what he's trying to say. V'chein Yaakov, the Hutzrach lahashpia es Yosef, the fact that he was required to make a shvua. Hey, this is a better raya. Why did Yaakov have to make Yosef take a shvua that he's going to bury him in Eretz Canaan? Unisasani, what?
The first time, wasn't it a two-stage process? One is to take him out of Mitzrayim.
Yes.
The second part was to actually bury him.
What's the difference? What do you do with him? Put him in a mausoleum. What do you do with him? Okay. No, this is a new deal. Let's go read what it says. This is a new part. This is Bechin. Who's a Yaakov? Who's Shachla? It's Shpias Yosef. It's Minasun. It's Sassanim. It's Mitzrayim. Mashma. Shebet Savol Luchul. Einu Mukhi. Einu Mukhi. Lekayim Mitzvah. So Ad Shesh. Who's Shachla? Hashpia Al Kach. That's a good raya. Very nice raya here. Is that Yaakov even told him to take my bones and bury them in Eretz Canaan? And he made Yaakov Avinu take a shvua. Why did he make him take a shvua? Why was it enough just to give the command?
It's different. There was a tikkias kafir. There was a shahenchi.
It's the halacha. Okay, fine. Okay, let's see what it says. So the fact that he made, but he once said, and the fact that he made him make a shvua is an indication that you're not really mechuyif to listen to my instructions. You have no obligation to do so. Just because the father says to do this and do this, I have no obligation to do so. It's only because he took a shvua that finally tipped the scales.
What about the other brother? They did take a shvua. Did they have overruled him?
Overruled him, where he took a shul. He was in shul. I was like, Ulam don sham im kofin oso al kach mishum at kiaskof. Okay, so the Shavus Yaakov over here basically says that you're not mechuyif to listen to your mother. That's basically what he comes out. But again, what happened over here was the mother was dying. She said, I'm leaving over you Yerusha. I anticipate it's going to be machloikis. If there's going to be any disagreement, I want you to go to so and so. He should serve as the judge. The mother dies. And they all shook hands. They made a kinyan. They shook hands. The mother dies. One of the brothers does not want to go through the agreement. So he basically says, Yinam mechuyif. You have no obligation to me. Mekayim divrei hames. That's only when it comes to giving.
No, he shook his head.
So then he goes on to say that Sheikh making a kinyan, maybe that's a problem. But he did mention the previous paragraph that they gave an excuse. The reason why I made the kinyan was not a sincere kinyan. It was only because the mother was dying. She would have had agmas nefesh. So that's why I shook hands. But it's not a sincere agreement. And he seems to come out on the side that you're not mechuyev l'kayim divrei hames when it's not a condition. If it's a tenai, you're only going to get the money if you do such and such, then it's a tenai. A tenai, you can do whatever you want. But if you do not make a tenai, you just give good advice. I want, you're going to divide the Yerusha, and I'm giving you advice. I'm telling you my last will and testament. This is what I want. I want you to go to so and so. That you're not mechuyev to do according to the Shavus Yaakov. Ulam, Beshut, Yehuda Yaleh, Heir al Rayas HaShavus Yaakov, BeYaakov Vevinu, he goes to just slug up these Rayas. Shenelmu Mimenu Divrei HaRamban, Perish HaTorah, Shekosav Zelashone HaShavali, Velo Hoya Yaakov, Choshed Bibnei HaTzadik, Aho Velo Sheyamre al Mitzvahs Aveh, Ve'al Adov Asher Hivtichoy, Ve'yomar Anochi, Asechid Varecha. The reason why he made the shoe was not because he felt that he would not do what he was supposed to do. Avlosakein L'chazeku Inyin Be'inei Paro Ula Loitin Loi Rishus. Since he knows there's going to be opposition, so therefore he needs a shoe to overcome the opposition of Paro. V'chein, V'chulu. so too we need another shua. V'chein ho yadavar, k'mo sh'omar, alei u'kvor yetzadich, k'asher hishpi echa, indeed he says, go and bury your father like you promised him. Ad kan l'shoyne v'alkein gam agoin b'shvus Yaakov, hari ozul moideh sh'lefnim yishur sadin v'yachayim l'kayim mitzvah avim. There's no question that l'fnim yishur sadin, if a father tells you to do something, you have to do it. V'yim kein adan yikshul olam yachutzuch Yaakov l'shvil Yosef, v'alkein lo yimor l'kol shkin har al-graban, u'mikol shkin shagbar heftich Yosef v'zagufa havalein d'kmo nedel in l'neder, La'oni la'asos chesed l'rosh, you make a neder, la'asos chesed l'rosh to a poor person, v'avtocha zu gufo k'shvua, v'alkein shemitzidoy l'chutzuch mashkos v'ramban, v'imkein in raya klal l'chiluko, v'udayin b'divri go'inim, k'ay, it's not a raya. So the bottom line over here is, at least he comes out l'maskon, it seems everyone comes to l'maskon, the halacha of mitzvah l'kayim, the mitzvah v'tzava, is only a mitzvah min hamuvchar, but you do not have a legal halachic obligation to fulfill the tzavah of a dying parent.
So Yosef didn't have an obligation to raise only because he made a shua.
No,
only because he made a shua.
Lefnim mishur sadin. Okay, that's the question. That is the question. That's really the two sides he's trying to present. He's trying to present that the reason why it was only because he took a shua. Because if not for the shua, he would not. Or to say no, he anyway would have an obligation to be mekayim with the father said it's only because the shul was the mechazik and guess it's going to be opposition.
So he's
mentioned in passing that the kiyas kav, you can suggest I only did it in order not to cause her agmas nefesh. So you can say there is such a thing as a kiyas. He was forced. No, a shvur, you don't say that. When you say like a shvur, you make a shem Hashem, then it's an acknowledgement that with a shem Hashem, there's no going back. That's a different level. That's already a different category. Whole different category. Okay, now let's go to nu. These things are a little bit easier, these topics. We have a rule that when you say mashivruch meregeshem or talumotar, if you say it 90 times, spirit suv in one shot, then if you have a suffix, if you say it at a later point in time, you do not need to repeat the Shemona Esrei. So here is the Shiloh. What happens if you only said 45 times? You davened already, it's 15 days into the month. And you've already said it to Tzila 45 times. And now you don't want to keep track for the remaining 15 days, so you say it now 45 more times. Are you clear? Can you now go on autopilot for the next 15 days and we assume that you said Mashiv Ruach Mored Geshem? Or do we say, when Chazal gave us this takana, that if you say something 90 times, automatically it becomes part of your essence, and you then if you have a suffix, you do not need to repeat the Shemona Esrei? That's only when you say it 90 times in one shot. But if you say today 45 times, and another time, another 45 times, or like an example of davening 40 days, maybe it's not good enough. B'shulchan Aruch, Kosav HaMechaber, in B'yoyim Rishon Shal Pesach, Oymer Birchas Ato Gibar, Ad Merid HaTol, Tzadi Pamim, if you say it 90 times, Kineged Lamed Yom Shomer Oso Gimel Pam Chol Yom, Misham Ve'elich in Enoi Zoycher, if you do not remember, in Hizker Geshem, Harehu B'Cheskas, Sheloi Hizker Geshem, Ve'eno Tzorech Lachazar. So if you say it 90 times, in this example, Merid HaTol, you're in the clear. We could assume that you always said it. So here comes the Shaila, B'Shut Ho'elef L'chosh Shloima, by Shloima Klugel. Nishal, Im Hispalo Tes Vavim, let's say you daven 15 days. Kol Yom Yom Tilos. Nimsa. So it comes out, Shehizker Mem Hei Pamim Morid HaTol B'Tvila. You've said it 45 times. The Achar Tesvav Yom Omar Mem Hei Pamim Morid HaTol. And now you say Morid HaTol 15 times. 45 times. Do we combine the two together? Im Zem Moil Shelo Yitzdorech Achar Kach Lachazor, to repeat the Shemona Esrei if you do not remember if you said it. Im Lo Yitzkar Im Hizker Geshem, whatever the situation is. Oishem, I came into Okay, that's the shaila. Here he comes to the answer. It's good. There is no question that you are clear. You're in the green. you could now go on autopilot and daven Shmon Esrei and need not be concerned that you will forget, you will mistakenly say Geshem when you're not supposed to say Geshem. You'll tell me, but there's a Farish of Gemara Masech the Gidin that says otherwise. You have to wash your hands for eating bread. There are two ways to wash your hand feeding bread. Either you can do what we do, netila, where you pour water upon your head, or you can dip your hands in the mikvah. Ever try that? You want to eat bread, so just dip your hands in the mikvah instead of washing your hands two times. The only problem is that you have to wash your hands because of the chlorine and the bacteria and who knows what else you got in the mikvah. Okay, so, but technically speaking, if you dip your hands in the mikvah, you do not need to wash your hands. So the Gemara has a shayla, there's a shayla. Can I wash one hand twice? One hand I wash twice, and the other hand I dip in the mikvah. And the Gemara says, no, you cannot. It's all or nothing. You have to be consistent. Either you dip both hands in the mikvah, or you wash one, or you wash both hands. So it's coming to suggest, just like we have a principle, when it comes to washing, you have to do both, it has to be all the same. Maybe when it comes to Mashiv, Aruch, Morid HaGeshem, or Morid HaTol, whatever you're saying, you can't go play games. It's all or nothing. Either you go 30 days and you say it three times to get used to it, or you say it in one shot, Ritzuf, and you say Mashiv, or you say, you leave out Morid HaTol 90 times, Ritzuf, in one shot without any delay. So that is Zraya.
In the summertime for the They don't say anything.
Another example, that's the real time of the daf. There are two witnesses who signed the get. Let's say, how do you validate the get? Either by saying, before I nechtam, or you validate two witnesses come and they testify that the signatures are valid. So what happens if only one signature has been validated, and the other signature is the one witness says, one signature says, before it's not been validated. His signature has not been validated, but he says, in my presence, before I nechtam, that signature. So, you have two signatures, and each signature you're trying to validate in a different way. So, can you do that? And the Gemara says, no, it's no good. You gotta be consistent. The technique you use to validate both signatures must be the same. You cannot validate one signature in one technique, one method, and the other another technique. Become welcome. Ain lo dimyon lekan. That's not relevant to our discussion of mashiv haruach amarid hageshen. Shadavar toli behergul adam v'tivoy lekach. Pshut davar pasha, because this is the matter of getting accustomed to something. This is psychology. So being accustomed to doing something the number of times. Mali mali ze kol shehizker tzadi pamim kain. Kain die bekach. It's sufficient. The chain biaro achronim ikarish atam shim hiskir tzadi pama harayu moilu works with nature. Davis the toli behergul adam v'tivo b'meila ein gabidim ze yesh lema shadam mirisragul b'fim ze. When you say it 90 times, it does not make a difference how. Whether you say it 15 days to tefila and 45 times through repetition, it's still comes out to a total of 90 times, your mind has been molded. You have been affected through the experience, and now we have a right to assume that if you have a suffix, if you said it, you definitely did or did not based upon what you've done. Next, now he says something else. Kam, Nesiv Kosaf, Hagoin, Rab Shlomo Kluga. Har Iker, Mekor Din Zesh, She Amiras, Merit Atol Tzadipamim, Me'elis, Nulman, Mishor, Hamud, She Mavu, Begmor, She Nodachim, Upamim, Verichek, Nigi Choysof, Chayef, Kiriv Nigi Choysof, like Kol Shekain. Im Kain Vada, She Mispalil, Tezof, Yom Yoy, Vachosa, Mehe, Pamim, Shayach, Lema, Kal, Vachoy, Mazeh. What is the source of this concept about saying in 90 times? Gemara Bavakama, if an axe gores three times, it becomes a mu'at. And the Gemara says, it becomes a mu'at if it does it even immediately one after the other. within the same very short period of time, and the Gemara makes a kal v'chomer. If it gores three times over 3 days or 3 weeks, it's a mu'id. Al achas kam v'kam, if it gores three times on the same day, it becomes a mu'id. It shows this is its nature. If it repeats itself multiple times, that is an indication of its nature. So therefore, that same kal v'chomer applies. If you go and you repeat something 90 times, it seems if you do it very quickly, it's going to be the same exact thing. Next, v'chein kosk v'chein pasukam ha-mishnah brura b'shem ha-shari tshuva shem hergil atzma mimhei pavim shem k'neget ha-zvavyonim mish'avu achach ha-zvavyonim chazoka sh'omar k'hoigin. The mishnah brura also passes like this. It's not a matter of saying it 90 times in one shot. It's a matter of coming to the total. The total, the tally should be 90 times, even if you do 15 over through tefillah, I mean 45 through 15 days of tefillah, and 45 times through repeating the other times in rapid succession. Okay, next case, next sugya.
Does anyone suggest doing this?
Doing this, everybody will do this.
43?
Do this 90 times.
Nine times,
but sometimes you're busy. Sometimes you
have to actually say it.
Yeah, 90 times.
Yeah,
yeah. Many people do this. I do this sometimes when I have a chance.
Do 90 times straight, because if you do it in
Milshman
Esrei, sometimes you say
Milshman Esrei. Nikita Milshman
Esrei. No, you daven Milshman
Esrei. Yeah.
And you skip it. You say instead of saying Masha Baruch Bargesha, you say Maruga Tole.
Yeah.
Catch yourself.
Yeah.
You say Masha Baruch Bargesha.
Yeah.
And you do that 30 times. So you
No. That doesn't, no. It doesn't work like that. No.
Okay,
no.
But if you do it 90 times straight,
you do it.
Not
in the middle of davening. No. When from the first time, let's say December 4th, the same Talamot Levracha. So you read it for a few words before. Baruch Leto as Hashem. Yes, you read. V'yas kol minetz sivu asal l'tova v'sein talamot l'vracha. V'yas kol minetz sivu asal l'tova v'sein talamot l'vracha. And you repeat yourself like a broken record. It takes about 3 minutes, like a broken record, 90 times. And then, if chas v'shalom, in the next 30 days, you have a suffix, you're on autopilot. We all know you go on autopilot. You come to shul, you start davening Shmona Esrei, and before you turn around, it's now time for tachanun. You're on autopilot, what?
Baruch Aleinu is a problem because there's a Shem Elokeinu.
No, so you just say, you don't have to say the whole thing. You say, the S kol mine sivu asa l'toiva, the same tal umat l'vracha. You don't need to go from that. That's atagibar.
You don't even mention this halacha about having the same tal umat l'vracha.
It applies across everyone. It's partial. But everyone does it. I'm sure you can find this somewhere. Everyone does this. You don't say Hashem's name. You say Mechaye Mesim Ato. You don't say Ato Gibor. It's Hashem's name. Ato Gibor Lilom Hashem. You can't say Hashem's name 90 times. Levatolo. You say Mechaye Mesim Ato Rav Lehoshia. Or you say Morid Atol, or you leave it out. You leave it out. Whatever, but you just say, you don't have to say the entire bracha. You say the expression. You say the phrase. I once had a shayla the other way around. Someone has a very interesting shayla. Listen to the shayla. You bench. You forget if you said Ritzei. So what is the halacha? You're sitting there at home, you're benching as a din d'oraisa. It's even more serious. Yes. It's even more serious than davening Shmona Esrei. And you don't remember Friday night. I do not remember if I said Ritzei. So you have no choice. You have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. So someone said to me, the only time I ever bench is on Shabbos. I never wash during the week. Doctor's orders. I'm on a diet. I never have bread. I never wash. I only say Ala Michio or Bari Nefashos during the week. So it's been at least 30 weeks. It's been at least 30, after 90, I should say only 30, it's 90 days. It's the only thing I do, let's say, for a year. So you have to have, not only, you need more than a year, you have to have 2 years, 54 weeks in the Shabbos. So let's say you've been doing this for 2 years. For 2 years, you've never washed during the weekday. So you can say never, but let's assume most of the time. And now it's Shabbos.
Three times in Shabbos.
Oh, so you're right. So you're reducing it in Echanam. So you have to do the math. So at least 90 times, for the last 90 times when I have recited Birchas HaMazon, I have always said Ritzei, and there was no interference. There was never a time in between these 90 times when I said Birchas HaMazon, I did not say Ritzei. So L'Cha'ora, if you have a suffix, Friday night, if you recited Ritzeh, you do not have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon, as long as it's a legitimate Safka, since it is your custom only to recite Birchas HaMazon on Shabbos Kodesh, when you are saying Ritzeh, and you did the math, and your math, some, not everyone eats Shalashus either, with bread, but you've done the math in the last 90 times that you recited Birchas HaMazon with the Ritzeh, then you have a right to, so you do not make that mistake. And that's what comes out.
What about Yantav? You don't say Ritzeh.
You say Yalav, so then Yantav, you're in trouble.
No, but
but you're passing through a time of year, okay? So it could be. You know, it doesn't have to be a perfect record. It just means that you know, you're allowed to cheat a little. You can cheat a little. He never did a tax return. Just joking. Strike that from the record. Okay, let's go further. Eitzah l'mi shalaykiven b'shmoyne esrei. Okay, this is a nice sugya. B'sefer yesh noichalin kosav. We have the following sugya. Kosav shemish loikiven b'shmoyne esrei. Person did not have come b'shmoyne esrei. Yoimar im hashatz b'chazores hashatz natsim abrocha v'yesa abrocha yishma me hashatz. A person that does not have kavon doing shmoneh esrei yinat yoytze. You have to have kavon. Let me tell you the maskana. Lechatchila yinat yoytze the shmoneh esrei unless you have kavon for the first bracha. First bracha word for word. Okay, Avraham, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov from Gintan. Bidiyavir. If Chaim Kanievsky says it, Bidiyavir. If you do not have kavon during the first bracha, Bidiyavir, you have kavon during modim. Most people, it's very sad, it's very unfortunate, modim by most people is not an ikar. People are really into Baruch Aleinu is very popular. Rifa'enu is popular. Wherever you got, there's something in it for you. There's something that's very popular. So people know the halacha that you have to have kavanah for the first bracha. So at least in the beginning, it's easier to have kavanah. But by the time you get to modim, you're exhausted. By the time you get to modim, west quest, patience to have kavanah, you already got peshmak aleinu, nu shmak aleinu, ding ding ding, all the money came in. So modim, it's not important. The truth is, modim is more important because modim is your backup plan. In the event that you did not have kavanah for the first bracha, if you have kavanah during modim, then you are, according to some opinions, you are yoytzei the shmona eshrei, and you need not repeat it. Halacha lemaisa b'zman, as if a person does not have kavanah during shmona eshrei, does he need to repeat the shmona eshrei? No. Why not? For one very simple reason. You're not going to have kavanah the second time around. No, that's really. You're not going to have kavanah the second time around. Therefore, there's no need to repeat the shmona eshrei. It's like the same shayla. A person forgets to say as a suffix, did he say yalev yavo on Rosh Chodesh? So he repeats the shmona eshrei. And then after he repeats the shmona eshrei the second time, he has a suffix, if I said it the second time. So he repeats it once already. You get to the third time, there's no point in repeating the shmona eshrei, because if you didn't get around to saying it already three times, then you have a suffix, then it's not likely you're gonna be any better the fourth time around either. Okay, so here we have the situation. Let's see what it says. Because of Jewish law, the person does not have kavanah, so you do not repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. However, you have to be aware that you're not yoytzei the Shemoneh Esrei. You're in a very, very difficult situation. You were not yoytzei the Shemoneh Esrei because you don't have kavanah in the first bracha, and you're not allowed to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. So the only solution is to have kavanah to listen to the Chazoras Hashatz with kavanah and to answer amen to all of the brachas. So Shmi Shalakivim B'Shemoneh Esrei Yoyma Im Hashatz B'Chazoras Hashatz at Siyam HaBracha. You should say it Im Hashatz until the Siyam HaBracha. V'Esa Bracha Yishma Me Hashatz. Don't say Hashem's name. You say the beginning of the bracha. You can say with the Shatz the part of the bracha without Hashem's name. Atzim abrocha v'es abrocha the broch baruch atu Hashem shame shma koyleinu. And I don't know if he means you can say Hashem's name. You say shma koyleinu. Do you say Hashem's name? It's not clear. He's giving the eitzah, which we don't do anyway. Bisman hazeh, but he's saying that you should say the beginning of the bracha mila b'mila, so you also are participating in saying the bracha. The end of the bracha, the chasima baruch atu Hashem, that you do not say. You listen and you answer amen. Okay, so he's touching about the same theme of this staff. It's either all or nothing. That's the theme of this stuff. There are two witnesses that sign on a get, and the two witnesses need to be validated. The technique in validating the signatures must be consistent. You cannot validate one signature one way and another signature the other way. Likewise, over here, you have to differ. You would argue that you cannot go the part of the bracha you're saying mila b'mila, and the other part of the bracha you are listening and answering amen. So that nishtahin nishtaher. No, it's not an issue. Even if you're going to say these words quietly by yourself, okay, so he's saying that the person who should say these words quietly, so he's saying, he's just going to review quickly. There's a problem, there's an epidemic, the Mishnah Berurah says, that when you people who daven for the Amor, when it comes to modim, they do not recite the modim out loud. They mistakenly think that since the Tzibur is reciting the modim derabanan, it's now their chance to catch their breath, and they can say the modim in the Siddur very quickly and quietly to themselves. That is a very great mistake. The entire Chazar Sashatz must be read out loud, every single word must be said, people can hear. Ad kadei kach, that if you're listening and the shat is making this mistake and is saying it quietly, you, the listener, should say the modem out loud. The big modem, the regular modem, because since that's part of Chazar Sashatz, and you need that to fulfill Chazar Sashatz, so you say it. You say it to yourself, say the big modem out loud in order to be mashlum what the Shlech Tzibur is hiding from you by saying it quietly. Now let's go further. Now then, the Sefer Sikh Hasode Hevi, David Divri Hayesh Noichlam, Ubirni explains, Shechavanasa Shein Oimim Besugin Oikuloi Bekim Aget Oikul Betechem Sachamim Eliyoch Lot Seitz Chetzi Bekuya Vechetzi. In other words, that this principle in the Gemara that half and half is limited to a case of Gitin, of Kim Shtaris. Don't go start saying that when it comes to Shmona Esrei, part of the Shmona Esrei I'm going to listen to, and part I'm going to say. No, it's okay. You can do that also. That's okay. Ulam acholkim al yisoid zeh sayvim shekashem shebintilas yadayim oimem mahataytsis mesugin shem yoyu tzrichim l'shnutzil yadayim yeh bevasachas hayu tzrichim lito l'shtei hayadayim yoyfen echad v'kli echad v'lo yachas mentilu v'achas v'shtifa v'afilu v'beis kelim lo yeh moyel v'imkein gam liyin bracha shetzoch loimem bevasachas v'yos l'hafsik b'zetzoch shei v'kli echad tayin b'pe echad v'lo shietzi chetzi mipiv v'zeh shozeh v'chetzi mipiv shozeh. Okay, we're running out of time. Make long story short, it's a hold. Not everyone agrees to this. Some indeed hold that when it comes to saying, when it comes to Shmona Esrei, it's all or nothing. Either listen to the entire thing or part and part. V'hine, b'shut Rabbi Akiva Eger, Kosaf.
Can't do the
Tilsi Daim
with two cups.
No, Tais is suggesting that you have to do the Tilsi with one shot, with one cup in one shot. How do you do it in one shot? I don't know how you do it in one shot. I don't know what it means. You have to wash both hands in one shot. You can't go wash two hands in two different actions. I don't know how that's, I mean, someone has to do it for you. Is that what it means? It means like duchening. When you go, a kohen goes to duchen, then you pour the water. You're a kohen, right?
Right, so you pour one.
So when they pour on one hand at a time or both hands in one shot? Both hands in one shot.
Both hands in one time.
So Tosfos is suggesting that when it comes to Netilas Yadayim to eat bread, you would have to have someone pour the water on your hands for you, because you have to have it in one shot. We don't paskin like this, obviously. They did in one shot, right? And even for duchening, it's done in one shot.
Right.
But he's suggesting that even when it comes to Tilsi Dayim, it should be, we don't pass it like this. But he wants to at least say that it has to be all or nothing. You can't go have part and part. So when it comes to tefillah, he holds that it's not so simple to say that if you want to be mekayim the mitzvah of tefillah, part of the tefillah can be done by listening and part can be done by saying. That is a violation of this principle in the Gemara. It's either all or nothing.
What about if you didn't have kavanah on one part of the Shema?
You didn't say Shema Kaleinu.
No, I don't think so. I think it's the whole Shemon Esrei. Yeah, it's all or nothing. It's not obviously for us. It's very not practical. This lacha. Let's see.
So you won't have the modem rabbanon.
You won't have the modem de rabbanon if you're going to be busy saying the modem, the regular modem. You're not going to have the modem de rabbanon. Well, it's a little hurt. It's no worse if you say the regular modem. You're saying at least a modem also. That's vehine b'shulim ki ve'egu kasab negel l'nar ben yigul shan v'yamecha shulad nivdak im hevi shtei saros v'roitzi lohitzi yishri dei chayvas kiddush shepasach hamogen avram she'eni yachol lohitzi shehi sharei b'deraisa loy samchinon. Al Chazaka de Rava. And Adin de Raisa, we did not rely on Rava. Therefore, Tikadesh, Tiktash Hila Atzma, Friday night, a woman has a chiv to recite Kiddush de Raisa. A 13-year-old boy, it's a suffix if he is an adult. Just because he brought two sairos is not a proof that he's a full adult. And therefore, he cannot be Moitse in Isha Kiddush. That's the Chiddush of the Magen Avram. Now, here he goes further. Shekavonis Magen Avram, Shetayma, Kol Nusach Birchas HaKiddush, Chutz Mipsichosa VeHachasima, Shetishma MeHabar Mitzvah VeTeitze Yidei Chayvasa. Sheminatari Nechiv Rak Lahatzki Yom HaShambas V'Divir Sherech V'Psichas HaChasima HaSabrocha Midrabanan V'Yesh Lus Michal Chazoka Durava. So this is what he says, an incredible shock. You have a Bar Mitzvah boy, 13 years old, he's making Kiddush for an Isha, the Isha is a Lamdan, she knows that this 13-year-old boy cannot be Moitzi me the Kiddush because I am a Chayiv Darais and this boy is a Sofik, is even an adult. So, but he's making Kiddush. So, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read the Kiddush along with him partially. I'm going to read the middle, but you start up Baruch Atah Hashem Elohim Elohim Asher. So, she's going to start Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav v'ratzavanu v'shabas kadosho b'yavar v'ratzon hinchilanu zikro l'matzei v'reish. She's going to read the middle, but you start up Baruch Atah Hashem Elohim Elohim Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav v'ratzavanu v'shabas kadosho b'yavar v'ratzon hinchilanu. And she'll stop. And then she'll let the Bar Mitzvah boy conclude, Baruch Atah Hashem, Nikadesh HaShabbos. So the Bar Mitzvah boy is going to say the beginning of the Baruch, Baruch Atah Hashem, Lachinu Melech Olam. And the Bar Mitzvah boy is going to conclude, Baruch Atah Hashem, Nikadesh HaShabbos. And she will read along with him in the middle.
Why does she
could read everything? Maybe it's an embarrassing situation. Maybe the boy, maybe whatever the situation is. Whatever the situation, she doesn't want to drink the wine. So it's either when he's 18 years old. A man becomes a full-fledged adult when he's 18 years old, or he grows significant facial hair. Already if he begins to shave when he's already 16 years old, that already he already shaves, then already he's a full-fledged. If he doesn't have significant facial hair at that point in time, then when he's 18 years old, it is assumed that he's an adult. So he says over in the Morgan Avram, it's an incredible Kiddush, a Bar Mitzvah, a woman is a Chiv Derais, he's on the Drabonon, she has to say Kiddush, so she can listen to part and she can say part. But did we not just learn 1 moment ago that this is not so simple? So what do we see? We see, no, you can't, Sharei Min HaTorah, in So therefore you see over here again this principle that you can do part can be fulfilled through listening and part can be fulfilled through saying. Not so simple. What? Okay, you're right. It's not exactly the same thing because it's not there. Okay, just throwing out this issue. All we take away from this is at least that there is a Gemara, and the Gemara talks about two halachas, tzvila, you can be to wash your hands by dipping or by washing, or the issue of validating two signatures on a document. The Gemara is clear that you have to be consistent. Let's take this principle. Where else can we apply this principle? Mashiv Ruach Morid Hageshem, can we apply the principle? We can do half and half. When it comes to making brochos, can we divide half listening, half saying? When it comes to Shmoneh Esrei, Tfilah, it's also a din of bracha, half and half. So he goes to show the achiluke deos, difference of different opinions in the poskim of how far we go in doing something and being inconsistent in one approach to halacha. Okay, we'll stop here. What? Yeah.
Why? Only make the burger. She wants on the Saturday. She has no.
No, not the...
Yeah.